Autumn Festival is always one of the big ones in my family. You guys want to hear another awkward story? You guys want to hear an awkward and embarrassing story about me? We'll make it quick. So our family get together, and then one of the favorite things among my family is to tell awkward and disastrous stories about me. And everyone would take turn. My niece would take turn. Even over on Friday night, and I'll get together. Even my 3-year-old daughter tried to jump in and say, yeah, daddy, one time." And I was like, "Dude, you're 3. What do you know about this?" So my favorite disaster story is always around Mid-Autumn Festival. When I was about Jordan's age, my brother, we're 5 years apart. So how was Jordan? Okay, so actually, I was 10 and he was 5. We were even younger. If you know where Hong Kong's Victoria Park is, and it's where we can go out there and light lanterns. It's rather a beautiful moment. Those are days before cell phone and family comes together. And my brother is always a good kid, and my mom will always get him like the best lanterns. So one year he went and picked out his own lanterns. I always just pick whatever it is because at the end of the day, I'm just gonna burn it anyway. So my brother picked out this really papier mâché, beautiful papier mâché bunny, and it's got these wooden wheels on it, and you can drag it around. I don't know if you guys remember. Sally, do you remember these in Hong Kong? Yeah, poly. And this is like the expensive one, and you want to reuse it. It's really decorative, and the bunny head moves and stuff like that. So me being a troll and always a troll, throughout the night I've been trying to burn that bunny. I try to throw matches at it and try to burn it. So my brother's always stressing out. And eventually, when we're down in the park, we're on our way home, I caught up to him. I managed to lit the tail of the bunny on fire. And then my brother didn't know. In those days, like, there was a beginning. You know, like, little kids wear these shoes, flip-flop, and when they walk, they go like, nee, 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 nee. Yeah, so he was walking, like, just nee, 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 dragging this little bunny lanterns on fire. And then I was laughing, and he finally turned around and see that his bunny lantern was on fire, and he freaked out. So he stopped running faster, he's going, nee, 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 and he's dragging this ball of fire. And then people are looking, he's like, why there's a little kid screaming, nee, 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 dragging this ball of fire. So that's my family loves to tell that story. I'm still a little flushed when I think about it. But praise God for the family. For a bit of time that my brother went to China, we become a strain. There's a lot of tensions that we don't know when he's going to come home. But recently, seeing him back, in the last few years, seeing him back, I really learned to cherish my brother. Yeah. So let me get to today's topic. So today's sermon is going to be off from Luke 10. And it's the title of this sermon is called Disciple and Missions. So to kind of answer the questions, how does disciple and missions links together? If you have your Bible or have the paper Bibles in front of you, actually learn to turn to your paper Bible. Learn to go tactile. Luke 10. You guys have a Bible in front of you, Luke 10? At least try to flip to the phone on Luke 10 so we can get some context of this. Like, we just finished a street fair. Usually this time last year, we'll be preparing for a carnival. And as we're looking at the calendar, it's upcoming that we have going to be open gym. I think this is one of the most missional church, but as some of you might think, why are we doing this? Why don't we just give our money to people who are like, Doctors Without Borders? They seem to be doing more glamorous stuff. Is this thing that we're going out there to meet people, is it enough? Are we really solving a problem? Or maybe even to the questions that is missional really a Christian duty? Or is it a Christian calling? You ever think about that? Sometimes I do when I'm standing in street fairs, me and Theo's and Zoe was sitting there. There's only one picture of me. It's me sitting there with Theo's and Zoe, and all three of us was like playing on our phone. It's like sometimes after standing on the street fair for like after like third hour, you're like, why am here? Why am I here, Jesus? You guys ever think about that? So today I would like to share with you as some of these things is the Christian, like I call it character. Because in the end of chapter 9, Jesus raised the questions as he's calling the disciple to himself that he asked these questions. There's people who wanted to follow him, but then he asked, essentially, it's like, are you fit for service in the kingdom of God? And there's people They want to raise their hands. It's like, Jesus, I want to follow you. But Jesus is like, are you fit for the kingdom of God? So by that question, that means there are some people is unfit. We wanted the benefit, but there is always a saying that we must bury the cross. And today we're going to talk about is how is it that Jesus has sent us out to be a missional community? That even though some of the stuff that we do is different for whatever out there, it's like the food bank, just handing out food, or, you know, just doing the regular good deed. I want to see that if we can differentiate this. And then so today, I want to unpack some of the things, like talk about, like, what is the mission? What is the character of the mission? What's the components of it? Like, why is it important? Why are we doing things the way we do? And then over that, and just to think about it, is missional a part of your life? Now, recap a little bit. For some of you who is not familiar with the book of Luke, from 1 to 9, Luke really tried hard to show you who Jesus is. Not only just he tells you, he used multitude of accounts and events. He's like, this is the one. This is the Messiah that we're believing into. Also, that Luke paints a really odd picture that is there something going on. There's a conflict between good and darkness. Not just that we use it in the comical sense or like the movie sense, but there is something about the forces of good, the forces of God, and the satanic force. Because Luke narrated a lot. Jesus run into weird things. To the point that before Jesus standing out in his ministry, he was sent in the wilderness. He was tempted no less but then the Satan himself. You know that Satan is a title. It is, I believe, that the time the person that comes and confronts Jesus, it is Satan, the Satan. But whatever Jesus does, he cannot go on to Jerusalem, cannot grow on the cross. So in chapter 9, it is really a hinges point. It's going where proven who Jesus are as to in 9 and 10, starting as Jesus gathering around his community. I call it these are Jesus' forerunners. These people are to go out there and then wherever Jesus is and then to tell them the kingdom of God. Before that, let me read to you in chapter 10. I'm reading from the NIV editions. Peter, can we have the... Okay, just you guys can read from your own version, but, you know, is it too small? Sorry, I was trying to get everything in. My bad. Just read your verse, but I'm reading the NIV versions. So Luke chapter 10, verses 1. After this, Lord appoints 72 others and set them two by two ahead of them to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out worker into the harvest field. Go! I am sending you out there like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or a sandal and do not greet each other on the road. When you enter the house, first say, peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay in their house, eat and drink whatever they give you, for the workers deserve those wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a house and are welcome, eat whatever is set before you. Heal the sick are there and then tell them, the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and there is not welcome, go into the street and say, even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet are wiped off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable for the day of Sodom and that of that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For it is the miracle that was performed in you have been performed in Tyre and Sidon. They would have been repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon in the judgment of than you. And you, Capernaum, that you will be lifted up into the sky? No, you will go down to the depth. He who listens to you, listen to me. He who rejects you, rejects me. But he who rejects me, rejects to him who sent me. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan falling like lightnings from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome that all the powers of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the Spirit submits to you, but rejoice that your name are written in heaven. This is the Lord's word. This is some odd passage. It sounds like Jesus sending out a bunch of like hobos, right? You have no money, no purse, and no shoes. and you don't even greet each other, and then you go in people's houses like, give me some food or peace be with you. And if you don't, they're like, it's like going out the street, it's like, may the dust be off from you. Is that the mission of Jesus? I think if you guys are going to go out there, it will really wear you out. But that's why I want to share with you this message today in here. Because this black block of message, Jesus used a lot of metaphor. So this is the part where I actually was trying to share you. Sometimes you take things is literally. Sometimes it is a metaphor. But to how you unpack the metaphor, I hope to share that with you. So today, let's talk about the first things. The mission. What is it that the Jesus sending out his disciple does? Now, if you have or we can remember, this was unpacked in chapter 9, verse 1 to 3. Just Jesus tell the disciple what this mission is. But let me break it down to you in three little points. One is to preach. It is that you will communicate the gospel story, the God story, from Egypt to wherever they are at. At that point, only thing they have is the Old Testament. So they're trying to communicate God's salvation. This is to preach. The second point I say is healing or healing-related story. It's something in the nature of brokenness, whether physical and then otherwise. You want to apply yourself into the healing of that. And the third thing I call it is the anti-demonic work. Is that, are you going out there to cast out demons? Maybe. But it is that three essential things. You're supposed to talk about God, apply yourself in healing, and something you do that is just the anti-demonic. Now, let me go into the first point, the missions, the message point. The message point is like we always talk about the gospel. If I can ask you, and you guys been in Auntie Lisa's and Auntie Carmen's classes, you guys can tell me what is the gospel. Let me just pick on someone. Ashley, what is the gospel? It's too early, huh? Maybe when I tell you that the gospel, most of you be in Sunday school long enough, it's like, yeah, it is the Jesus story. He died and resurrected for us. But that is all true. It is the perfect Sunday school answer. But before Jesus, the word gospel, evangelion, was used. It is actually, to my interpretation, is something of big and important news. And I like to break things down. So this is what I think the good news is before Jesus. It's a historical changing event has happened that it demands your attentions and your reaction. I'll give you an example of what that is. When Caesar Augustus, or Caesar, Julius Caesar, will come to take power, that is, everyone needs to know, and it demands everyone's attention. Because why? Because if you're a forged Caesar before his enthronement, you'll be in joy. But if you've been anti-Caesar, you speak against him before his enthronement, you better hide. Or there's tax changes. There's pardon. So these things related to you. And in American history, we have a little things called Declarations of Independence, right? That is big news. That is something that you need to know. Because it's what the 13 colonies about to do. England reacted when they received it. And then also internally, they sent it to all through the 13 colonies. It's like, you better get ready. You're either with us or you're not with us. And then we can look at it very easily with recent context of Hong Kong with the extradition bill. The moment it presented itself, it divided the Hong Kong. If you see that right now, I'm glad that my mom come back. People are literally fighting. They're not like thugs fighting. They're like moms, like in their 40s and fighting school children. Because of this news. Something so big that it caused you to react. And it changes history. But why we monopolize the word gospel into the good news of Jesus Christ? Because in history, nothing before him and nothing after him means anything beyond this. This is the big news. Because what we call it good news is because it is God's sons who bring that reconciliation. So I just want you to remember that. Not only that, he is trying to reconcile the whole creation. And we'll talk about it right in a couple of seconds. So the good news. Now I'm going to link up the healings and the anti-demonic things together. And then first I want to answer the questions, and mostly for the people on this side. You know, is the gospel still relevant? I mean, should we still talk about this? This is the age. I see so many bumper stickers say coexist. Jewish, cross, and then, you know, it's like all religion led to the same path. should we still yap on about this? This is maybe good 2,000 years ago when Jesus treated 4,000 people and 5,000 people with fish and bread, you know? That was good. But now, I don't know. We're in the scientific age. Let's see what's going on. Sorry, guys. So first, it has to go to the supernatural. And I'm glad that no one rolled their eyes. Because when I start explaining this to a friend, I'm trying to share this point with him, he rolled his eyes. He's like, seriously? That is, he actually said, this is the biggest Christian cop-out. It's like everything you can explain is go to the supernatural. But hear me out. At least how Jesus sees, I believe in the scriptures, at least what the scripture was unpacking, is that the sickness, the brokenness beyond the physical, the pathological, the psychological, the nature, something at core of it was demonic at play. Now, I'm not saying that there is demons in every shadow, but it has some sort of dark influence into the brokenness into this world. And why Jesus is saying that the healing, and then always have to bring the kingdom of God into it, and then you can hear my reason. We have a lot of sickness going on. Do you not agree? Now we have every flavors of cancer. I recently just met with a lady. She have a tongue cancer. I didn't know your tongue can get cancers. You got tongue cancers. I got cancer before. But now you look at flu. Flu is crazy. But as we're looking into the world that we're living in, don't you not agree with me that right now we seem to abuse the resource that we have quite a bit? Over-harvesting in fish, farming, water. It's the next things I believe that they will be fighting for is water, clean water, just regular resource that we take it for granted. There's a lot of these going on. And then we can talk about there's other kind of sickness beyond the physical. It's like, you know, see how I can link this? It's like neglections and greed. Now, I give it another sample. Maybe it's like, well, Sam, are you talking about like, you know, if I have a sore throat, is there demons in it? I say, maybe not. But there is some means of us that because without a God-centered life, we run our body pretty hard. I live in Cupertino. Sometimes I was driving down at 85. There's still traffic jams at 8:30 at night. We seem to forget Sabbath. A lot of people was getting sick. And one of the persons I'm talking to recently, he's experienced ulcer. But he's a young, healthy man. But he said, how would that be? But I don't know. Because of your anxiety, your insecurity, the need for you to climb that corporate ladder because you set in your mind how your future will be. I'm not saying that this is actually a version of a godless life. People drive themselves to the ground. And people run everything to the max. And we tell that to be okay. As we're looking in the students and stuff like that, you know, last year when I was just really praying for our juniors, I have a friend's daughter. Her goal in life was 1,400 in SAT. And she's taken SAT so many times that actually she lost significant of weight. And now she's, seeing a dermatologist. It's just there is a lot of things going on. They find it's not her skin. It's actually her pancreas. There is something without God that the dark forces can manifest itself. Now, I'm not trying to spook everyone's out. But in a granted of schemes, that we talk about one side, the good side, that we have that spiritual fruit. Do you guys remember that? The goodness, love in Galatians. But two verses before that, in Galatians 19, he's talking about people without the godlessness, the sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord. Now, where am I trying to go with all this? Is that the cause of sickness? According to the Bible, I believe it is. Because it's always coming from here. It's coming from the heart condition and manifested out. Maybe I'm drawing, overreaching a little bit, but if you're looking at relational sickness, you look at divorces, all the abuse, addictions. Right now, people talking about sexual trafficking is almost to the number that we rival to at the point that in the turning of century, or the slavery number in the global trade of human being. Something is broken, and it trickles down into physical to illness. Now, again, I'm not saying that every time you cough, there's a demon behind it. But we must look at it as a whole. Because what Jesus does when he asks us to be the missional people of him, he wants us to tackle the physical illness. Also, we want to speak to the soul, to the holistic side. And one of you earlier, this year we have a conversation about talking about how we minister, how to care for people who are abused. But let me tell you that abuse itself is a sickness. But sometimes a person who's abused, they have this codependency, the psychology. Sometimes the abused person even refuses to leave their abuser. There's multiple layers of broken. But when we are supposed to be the missional people of Jesus, we're supposed to bring in this holistic healing. Because at the end, Jesus said that I am not here just to fix. I want to be here to fix your sickness. But in here, I'm also here to crush the course. The core. Because in verse 17, he said that I see Satan falling from heaven like lightning. It sounds like some sort of anime attack, but it is that Jesus is like, I see this. I was there when he fell. And that's what I'm sent to do among the throne, around my throne is called the cross. He will fall. We will mark the assurance of that. It's to remember. If you want to see the pictures of it, I recommend you to review Revelations 18 and 20. So this is what we are tasked to do. The healing, to bring healing, to bring his shalom into the world. Now recently, a few of us been praying for you guys, of those in school, because right now, the school shooting and shooting in general, it seems like a monthly thing. It is something that I don't understand. Or maybe we can look at the news, it's just very depressing, but I say what is it is that there is an urgency. Because in chapter 9:51, it said that there's almost 14 chapters before Jesus is even being on the cross, but he said that as the time approach. And then when he was talking about sending people to the harvest, which is people going out there to deliver this salvific news, this salvation news, he used this language. It's like, take no purse, take no bag, take no sandals. Now, let me double reaffirm that. That is a figurative of speech. He said, do it in a hurry. In the harvest time that, you know, back in the days, when farmers go into harvest, it might take a whole year to plant. But in the harvest time, sometimes you only get about a week. So it is how the whole town come together and everything drop what they were doing. Seamstress, cobblers, bakers, they drop everything they do and they help them to go harvest, because it's that harvesting period is very, very short. It is with that mindset that Jesus said, go out there and bring my good news to the people. Now, us as a messenger, let me just also retouch on this question. It's like, should this missional thing be pastors? But in here, it said that this sent out 72. Again, this is another figurative of speech. I'm not trying to oversell this. I'm showing you exactly what it is. At that time, people think that 72 is stand for the 72 languages in the world. Because at the turn of the first century, they think there's only 72 nations. Luke is using that metaphor, telling that that is every tongue, every tribe, every people will go out there and spread this kingdom of God. But do you believe this? If you believe it, you will tell people. If you tell people, that means you believe it. Most of the time, I'll be honest with you, we tell different kind of gospel. I have seen some of you like vigorously debating about Hong Kong issue over the retreat. I've seen people never really doesn't say anything in Sunday school, and suddenly when you talk about Hong Kong, they got to put in their 2 cents. Young people, sometimes I even taunt you guys in getting into these pointless acres, just me being a troll, talking about like K-pop stars. We even like just goof around and stuff like, what's better, Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, Aragon? I taunt Carson sometimes just getting into these pointless debates like, is Goku stronger or Saitama? Saitama is stronger, Carson. I think Saitama is stronger. It's One Punch Man. See, we argue about these things. Even the people in Hong Kong, the students, the kids out there, they're standing out there. They're telling this news, what we believe and what we don't. Students in their uniforms.
But now when we talk about the gospel, will you talk about this? I know it's hard. When Jesus said that, we sent you out, we sent you out two by two, just in case you get your behind kicked, you got a backup. And he's also saying that right out of the bat, you're sending you like lambs into the wolves. There is a level of dangers in it. But no less that it is to tell us to do what he was commissioned to do. And we're looking at later on since stuff, we say those people, they have failed to come to know Jesus. It's a picture of a sackcloth and ashes. I tell you what. When you talk about the gospel, now how many of you guys actually, when you see someone's injured, when someone is brokenhearted, you would just like leave them alone? I'm not the kind of person. When I see people hurt, it's like, you know, sometimes I'm a big sad sob. When I see people like holding up like a help sign, like a homeless sign, I can't help. $3 is nothing. I mean, it sold me. When I see my friends in pain, I want to do something about this. It is that to share this gospel is not going to be easy, but you do it with mercy and grace because you didn't born with the gospel. You can't get it. You can't inherit it. It is an invitation from God. I'll tell you what, my best friend till this day, that we haven't really talked in 10 years, but we were best friend for 20 years. I was hang out with this friend of mine that we hang out before college and we work at the same place. We hung out for 20 years. He is not a believer. That when I think of the picture of him being sackcloth and ashes, that he is depart from grace. It is a sad thought. It is us to bring the shalom into this world. Now, let me close with this. Why am I telling you this? You know this. I'm being rhetorical. And thank you for not rolling your eyes and not falling asleep today. But why am I preaching this? Shouldn't I be going out to the street and tell people about Jesus instead of wasting your time over here? But Jesus says something really odd. He said, "Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. Look at what happened to you." You know, those are Jewish town. I'll put it in today's context. I think there's more unbeliever in church than out there. I think it was maybe the same amount. A lot of people have been coming to church since they were a kid. It's just something your family does. This is just a religious activity. But do you believe the risen Lord? Was he just a Christmas story? Do you believe what he set out to do? That he is the one who caused Satan to fall? That he's the one who bring heaven down? He's the one who can offer healing from within? I don't know. That's something you have to sell yourself. But let me just encourage you with this work. When you see it in the Bible, a lot of people say Jesus is mad because it's like, woe. Woe in the Bible, it isn't bring down curse. This is a Bible lesson for the day. Woe is an exclamation mark with a deep sadness. I say, what's woe? One time I was teaching in VBS, there was a little girl. She was getting gum in her hand. Oh, she's getting gum in her hair. And then she wouldn't tell anyone, she's trying to solve these things herself. And then she ended up starting cutting her hair, scraping it, and then she got gum in her hand, and then she got a chunk of her hair cut, and then she got gum in her other hand. And so by the time I found her, it was, whoa, it was like honey. You know, that Chinese best way to use the Cantonese expression, that's like, aya. It's not that I'm mad at you. It's like, sweetie, if you would just let me help you, you wouldn't have gum in both hands with just hair stuck on it. And she's looking at it as the saddest. That's what Jesus is saying. It's like, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. You were born with this. I'm ending up with this lessons today within the kids from church. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as the risen Lord? Now, I'm not asking or forcing you guys go out there to go trample on snakes and scorpions. Oh, again, I need to really, 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 really
really, 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 really clarified this. I don't want to see this afternoon someone going to Petco, put your foot into that pet tank. It's like, oh, Jesus say, snake couldn't bite my feet. You know, you end up going to get a lawsuit and you're going to get stung and then I'm going to laugh at you. It is, Jesus is saying that all that satanic work, because of the Holy Spirit that I am giving you, they are afraid of you. So do not go in there and start harassing pets in Petco. Understood? Everyone give me a nod. No harassing pet. Isaac, are we going to put a foot into Petco tank with snakes in it? Say no. Good job. But it is with that deep sadness. But think about Jesus' heart to us right now. Oh, people of 4C Church, you grew up with this stuff. Why they are not stuck into your heart? Now let me completely end with this. When you take a class, teacher teach, regardless how good the teacher is, you're giving a subject, chemistry, biology, mathematics, work. Regardless of how lame your boss is, once you're given a job, it's your job to figure out what is it that you need to do to complete the task and the best that you could, right? Isn't that what it's like in college, Donald? That sometimes teacher just does not give you all the full information. But it is for yourself to figure this out. What I'm ending with is like, it's for you to talk to that heart pieces inside of your heart. The Khorasans, the Bashidas, that why are you not listening? If you actually do not believe in this, have a conversation with your heart. What is it that is so unbelievable? I believe that if you choose to not believe in Jesus, it is as ludicrous as believing in Jesus. If you think that believing in Jesus, he raised from the dead, is crazy, not believing him is equally crazy. Have that conversation, and have that conversation with me. Have that conversation with me. And then when you have that conversation, when you feel like that, this is some of you, how many of you have good friends that does not believe in Jesus? Just give me a nod. Yeah. Do you care about your friends? I'm not imposing it on you. And I'll show you in a real example. And people always teach me to do something tangible. Like I talk to my best friend. And then we have a friendly conversation. It's like, hey, this is what I believe. And then this is what I don't believe. Like I tell him that. He's like, he always like, is this always a supernatural cop-out? But when I presented to him that Jesus isn't just one to heal your skin. Jesus wanted to heal. He wants, remember the leper? He's like, be clean and sin no more. It's like, there is something about this. As we're talking about how the brokenness in relationship, physical, socially, he actually have no comeback. It's not that I'm winning, but it's like, you have to think about, there is something in our soul is rotten inside out. Maybe our physical sickness is the manifestations of how our soul condition is. Ponder on that. Now it's today, and I'm closing. I just wanted to have you guys to think about your relationship. As missional Christians is Christian. Non-missional Christian has to pondering what you believe. And I hope that the Holy Spirit just speaks to you and help you to solve in your heart. It is his work. Let me close in the prayer. Father God, we come before you as I'm just trying to plead my case. Lord, sometimes I feel like my mouth is dull. I don't even know. But Lord, I know that you are true in my life. Lord, I ask you to help these people, help my friends, these people that I look forward to see every Sunday. Lord, help my friends to believe in you. And it's to manifest your goodness into the world. Lord, as we see the world out there, especially recently, with just a lot of friends have just relational issues, Lord. I pray that you use us. Be a Christ-centered people that we can heal, that we can just bring brokenness into anew. Lord, so we just have to look at the things that you said that when your word, your gospel reached to the end of the earth, that you will come back. Lord, it is our duty. Maybe not in my lifetime, but Lord, I want to go to my grave knowing that I have tried. I have tried, Lord. Lord, I ask you to give us a missional heart. Maybe sometimes it's just the silly things that we sit in the street fairs to help people to do a magnet fishy things, Lord. But I ask you to use that chance to speak goodness into the friends that we know.
Lord, I ask that every one of us right now, we think of the friend that we call friends. Think of their name that they have not known you. And Lord, I pray for this friend. I pray for this brother and sister. Pray for this one who has been by my side, but yet he or she does not know you. We pray for that person. We pray that there is an opportunity to open a conversation. Lord, we pray that there is the sick and broken people, Lord, that we have the wits and then we have the wisdoms and then the graciousness to be there for them, to stand in them with them. Lord, we pray that you will use us as your vessels into expanding your kingdom because you are our King. Lord, we give you thanks for you have recruited us before we know who you are. Lord, we give you thanks. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.